Dit is SBS Dutch.
Well, I mean, Australia absolutely loves Eurovision, so much so that we've decided to actually take part in it. We've obviously been part of Eurovision, the actual song contest itself, since 2015. Of course, we're in it again this year, albeit in a very distant manner for 2021, with Montaigne doing a live on tape recording for this year's contest. So no matter what, or, you know, whatever obstacles are thrown our way, we're still going to take part in Eurovision as much as we can because we just absolutely love it.
Why? Why do you love it so much?
Oh, I think that it's a mix of, you know, Eurovision itself is just an incredibly vibrant and fun and lively experience that we don't really see that much of here in Australia. You know, it happens once in a blue moon with, you know, the Olympics or Commonwealth Games, but having it in a, you know, in a musical and lively environment is just, you know, absolutely amazing. And I guess more fundamentally as well, Australia has such a strong and close relationship with Europe historically. Obviously, as a former colony of the UK, but also through waves of migration, particularly after the Second World War, a lot of Australians claim European heritage, myself included.
Yeah. So how did you get into the event?
So I got into Eurovision sort of by accident. I, you know, was about 11, 12 years old and was flicking through the TV channels during the Christmas holidays and stumbled upon SBS doing a repeat broadcast of the 2009 Eurovision Song Contest, which was held in Moscow, Russia at the time. And I just sort of sat and watched. I didn't really understand what was going on. I was asking my mom and dad what was going on, and they both were just as perplexed as I was. And yeah, ever since then, I just kept trying to find out as much as I could about this contest that I just stumbled upon and fell in love with very quickly, almost obsessively.
Explain, why is it obsessively?
I think it's such a weird event that you can't exactly explain without just watching it itself. So obviously you see all the fireworks and dress changes and the quirky songs and singing styles, but I think I've always personally been very interested in cultural diversity. That's, you know, growing up in a part of Sydney which is very multicultural inherently, I'm sort of used to just seeing different things and appreciating for what it is. So, you know, having it done on a formal competitive context like Eurovision, I think that's sort of just further added to my interest in wanting to know more about people and wanting to know more about different experiences and cultures and music as well. And I also personally, if I didn't become a lawyer, I had always been interested in music personally. I played trumpet as a kid. I do a little bit of piano. I do some composing on the side. I've done musical theatre. So also, you know, that musical aspect of Eurovision, I also love as well.
And isn't it a great night to just for one night, you can just have opinions about everyone on stage and the songs and everything.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a good opportunity to bring out the critic that we all have in each and every one of us. But it's always done in good fun. It's never done in a very judgmental or absurdly critical manner. It's just, you know, acknowledging the fact that there are some hits and there are definitely some misses.
What is the biggest miss in the last couple of years, you reckon?
Oh, I cannot remember the year off the top of my head, but Nina Kraljic in 2016, she represented Croatia. I could only describe her dress as just being a row of mirrors that she just draped over herself. I just remember seeing it and I'm like, I'm glad you're not a disco ball because that's just what I see.
And what is your absolute favorite?
Favorite costume. Oh, I think, probably Conchita Wurst, to be honest. You know, it was a very elegant style that she brought to the stage, even, you know, being what everyone now knows as the bearded drag queen. But her actual dress and her style showed grace and class that we probably hadn't seen in Eurovision for quite a while at that point in time. So, yeah, it was just, I think that's a highlight of mine.
And in terms of music, do you have an all-time favorite?
Ooh, that's always the hardest question for a true Eurovision fan to be able to answer, because there are so many that are just good favorites. I think you can't go past Loreen from Sweden and her song Euphoria. Mm-hmm. I think that's more because of the fact that it stood the test of time, because she won the contest back in 2012. And, you know, next year marks 10 years since she won. And even now, if it comes up on my music library, I'm still listening to it and really enjoying it. So I think a good Eurovision song, whether it's a favorite or not, is one that can stand the test of time. So yeah, I think Euphoria is probably a really solid favorite of mine. But also Duncan Lawrence winning with Arcade back in 2019. That's a very special moment for me, because obviously, as an Australian with Dutch heritage, being there and seeing the Netherlands win for the first time in nearly 40 years at that point was just a very special moment with a beautiful song as well. So that's a good solid favourite of mine as well.
Yeah, so what's your connection with the Netherlands?
So my mum's parents are originally from the Netherlands. They come from Drenthe. They came to Australia in the 50s. My Oma and Opa were the ones that decided from their respective families to give it a go here in Australia. Yeah, they moved to Sydney, bought a little house in the suburbs of Sydney and made do with what they knew, moving to a completely new country, new culture, and I think, you know, did well.
Mm-hmm. So you are also part of the official Australian fan club, Eurovision fan club.
Yeah, so I'm on the national committee of ESC Fan, which is the Eurovision Song Contest Fans of Australia Network. We're also known as OGAE Australia. OGAE stands for Organisation Générale de l'Amateur de l'Eurovision. So it's the International Association of Eurovision Fans. So we're the Australian chapter of the association. It's an absolutely incredible association. We run events, we run preview screenings and parties in major cities around Australia. We do little competitions. We run an online forum where people can debate and discuss, you know, their favorites or least favorite Eurovision songs and different years. And it's also just a really good opportunity to meet people from all around Australia and around New Zealand and the rest of the world as well, and just, you know, really live out what Eurovision is, which is being united in diversity. So yeah, it's an absolutely lovely little fan club to be part of. So yeah,
normally you are the way to maybe get tickets.
Yeah, so one perk of being part of OGAE is that we're officially recognised by the European Broadcasting Union that organises Eurovision as an official fan network, which means that we do get access to pre-sale tickets. Obviously, we can never guarantee, because it always depends on how big a venue it is. But it's always, you know, a good opportunity if you are truly committed to Eurovision. It's a good opportunity to also, you know, join the club so that you can guarantee yourself in some shape or form tickets to the actual shows.
Mm-hmm. How many members do you have?
Off the top of my head, we have around 500 members in Australia, which does make us one of the larger clubs around the world. And also that sort of further goes to prove how big of a deal it is, Eurovision, here in Australia.
Yeah. Would you have gone to the Netherlands if there was no COVID?
Yes. I actually had tickets for Eurovision last year, like for 2020.
Oh.
And I had it all planned out. I had the tickets to the shows. I booked a hotel. I had, you know, arrangements with family in the Netherlands, you know, to go and meet with them, and we had everything all planned. The only thing I kept delaying was flights. I was sort of trying to see if I could get a better deal, waiting a little bit longer.
That's the Dutch part of you.
Oh, yeah. Frugal is best. and I just kept delaying it. I was, I'll see how I go. And then about 2 weeks, like there was a 2 week period where I'll say, oh, it's make or break. I either need to book a ticket now or not bother going. Because at that point, COVID started becoming a lot more serious. And then officially the external border for Australia was closed, which meant even if I wanted to go, there's absolutely no way practically for me to be able to go. So
yeah, it would have been nice if you could have gone to the Netherlands because you have this special connection.
Yeah, would have been like very magical to actually be experiencing Eurovision for the first time ever for myself personally in a country that does mean a lot to me. You know, as being the birthplace of my grandparents and something where I heard a lot about as a kid, what it was like growing up in the Netherlands and what Dutch people are like in, you know, based on other people's experiences. So, yeah, it would have been special, but things happen and you have to, we've all had to learn how to work with whatever's thrown at us over the past year. So,
So how are you going to celebrate it now? Are you coming together and maybe even with Montaigne? I mean, she can't watch all by herself.
Yeah. So what is it? OGAE Australia, we're planning on running live screenings around Australia for the grand final itself, which is on the 23rd of May, live on SBS. So for the best example that we have is in Sydney. We have we're working alongside George's River Council to run a live screening starting at